Ephesians chapter 3, if you would, please, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's begin reading at verse 16. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his grace to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to share from the Word of God once again. And Lord, we ask that you would bless this church, that you would use it, that you would protect it, that, Lord, it could be used of you until you call us home. Lord, we do pray for Del Daniels and his family during the time of loss. Pray for Kathy as she awaits the surgery. Lord, we do pray for the Beams organization, that you would provide sustenance for them and that they would be able to make the Bibles as necessary. And Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. If you would now to the book of Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Under Nehemiah's faithful leadership, the people continued to work on the wall, and its completion was near. It would seem that all that needed was the restoration of the gates. I thought about that, restoration. It means compensation. It means to satisfy, to make amends, to repair, to fix, to return. And sometimes in relationships, there needs to be restoration. That there needs to be that even in unions of marriage, to bury the hatchet. But since Sanballat and his friends had not been able to stop the work on the walls, one commentator worded it this way, had failed miserably in their attempts to stop the people from working. So they, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arabian, decided to concentrate their attacks on Nehemiah himself. They would do their best to eliminate him or discredit him. The following has been penned about leadership and those in positions of leadership. Quote, the average person doesn't realize the tremendous pressures and questioning that people experience day after day in places of leadership. Leaders are often blamed for things they didn't do and criticized for things they tried to do. They are misquoted and misunderstood and rarely given the opportunity to set the record straight. If they act quickly, they are reckless. If they bide their times, they are cowards or unconcerned, unquote. People in places of spiritual leadership not only have the pressures that all leaders face, but they also battle an infernal enemy who is a master deceiver and a spiritual assassin. Of course, we know him as Lucifer, the devil, the serpent, and he comes against us on a regular basis. He comes as a serpent that deceives and a lion that devours. Thus, it behooves God's people to pray earnestly, not only for those in civil authority, like praying for our president, our governor, and other people in political areas, but also for those in places of spiritual authority. And we find that Nehemiah was trying to do both things. He was trying to build a wall, but he was also very concerned about their spiritual character. He wanted them to serve the Lord faithfully. Remember this. If the devil can defeat a Christian leader, he can cripple a whole ministry and discredit the cause of Christ. May I say this? You need to pray for Pastor Stephen for two reasons. Number one, he's in the ministry. And number two, he works with me. But then you need to pray for me on a regular basis. You need to pray for my wife. Again, she has to put up with me. Can you imagine putting up with me for 47 years? The enemy's main purpose was to generate fear in the heart of Nehemiah and his workers. Chapter 6, verse 9. Chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "For they all made us afraid." Notice verse 13. "Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid." Then again at verse 19, "Also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. And Tobias sent letters to put me in fear." The enemy knows that fear destroys faith and paralyzes life. Fear. Maybe you've been fearful of something. We were talking the other day about people who have a fear of roller coasters and have no desire. Those people who are fear of water over their head, like yours truly. You know, you can have fear in your life. I fear that one day that we're going to have a potluck dinner and all that's going to show up are peas, Brussels sprouts, and the other one, lima beans. And that would be a very, very fearful thing, wouldn't it? But fear. Adolf Hitler wrote, "Mental confusion, contradiction of feelings, indecisiveness, panic. These are our weapons," unquote. And there are those in our society today that are creating fear in many different walks of life. Jesus and Paul had to face the specter of fear, and both overcame it by faith. Peter failed when fear smacked him in the face before Jesus was crucified, but later was victorious when confronted by the roaring lion that seeketh to devour. There are times in which fear is going to come into our lives, and we may be bothered by something, and it's a great day when we overcome that fear. We have the record of what happened here at Jerusalem. But Nehemiah had to live it. Is there a difference? Reading about something and living it? We know there is. Because when you read about it, it's not near as, what's the word I'm looking for? Intense. When you're going through it, you have to endure it. Take your Bibles, if you will, and keeping your place here, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is going to encourage Timothy. And he understood that Timothy, a young man, had fear in his life. And we'll begin reading at verse 12, 2 Timothy 3. "Godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer." Now Timothy knew about what Paul had endured. He knew that he had been beaten with rods and that he had been stoned, and I'm sure that would create fear in a person's life. But it says here that all that live godly shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, being deceived. "Thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly finished unto all good works. All that live godly will suffer persecution. Now, I'm not sure how that always works, but there are those who are going to have trials because of their Christian faith. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I like this thought, deceiving and being deceived. May I say this? The evolutionist is a deceiver, and he has been deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. I believe this, that Nehemiah knew the Holy Scriptures that he had, but he was also a prayer warrior, and that he was able to endure what came his way because of his knowledge of the Scriptures and because of his ability to pray. And it says, the Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise. Because God's word is what? Profitable. It's profitable. Nehemiah and the people were not defeated, praise God, by the enemy, and finished the project. Take your Bibles back to Nehemiah chapter 6. The adversary is going to use four strategies in attacking Nehemiah. Strategies that our spiritual enemy still uses against us today. Number one, compromise. Compromise. We should not compromise our Christian faith. We should remain strong morally and spiritually. Let's begin reading at verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there were no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should I should the work cease, whilst I leave it, and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Come, let us meet together. Doesn't that sound like they want to be friendly? Yes. I'm doing a great work. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The church is a great work. It's a great cause. Men and women are dying and going to hell. So the job isn't done. We need to send forth the gospel. Only a fool would have gone to meet these who had opposed the work from the beginning. If you go back to World War II, before it began, the people in England and other countries kept trying to appease Hitler. And they kept giving him pieces of Austria or pieces of Czechoslovakia or other countries, trying to appease him. Well, what did he want? He wanted more. And more. And see, compromise gets us into trouble. Four times they tried this angle of attack. Come down, meet with us. You know, we can have something to eat. We'll talk. We'll see if we can work this out. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Be careful. Satan's desire is to bring each and every one of us down. He wants us not to be in the work. He wants us to feel satisfied with just a little of this or a little of that when we need to be committed to the work. Christians and believers are constantly being asked to compromise. Compromise their standards, compromise their doctrines, and sadly, all too often, many do. We're seeing it in many of our churches today that try to combine evolution with the salvation of Christ. If you don't believe Genesis 1:1, how can you believe John 3:16? We are not to compromise the Word of God. The seeds of compromise produce fruits that have deep roots and long shadows. Second, slander. Let's begin reading at verse 5. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, "It is reported among the heathen, and Gushmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together." Then I sent unto him, saying, "There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." If you would quickly turn over the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Here we find that they accuse Nehemiah of sedition. This is the second time they have hinted at the Jewish insurrection. And this is probably what had stopped the building of the temple years before, as we found in Ezra chapter 4. But if you would, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. "These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." We find that these enemies of Nehemiah were doing all of these. The open letter was for all to read. Usually a letter was rolled up and secured with a seal so only the intended would be able to read it. But we find that here a letter is sent that is open so that anybody can read what is being reported. Even Jesus was charged with promoting sedition. One that desires to serve the Lord oftentimes is misunderstood. But verse 6 says, "It is reported." Rumors, lies. Gushmu saith. You know, we find that there are those who jump on the bandwagon. They decide to go with those that are not promoting that which is true. And so to add slander, they add that Nehemiah was going to make himself king of Jerusalem. The truth is of no importance to the devil, as the devil is the father of liars. He is a liar and the father thereof. And he doesn't care about the truth or those that follow his leading. If someone is looking for a reason to get upset, you know what? They'll find it. They'll find it. And there were those that wanted to get upset at Nehemiah. Number 3, threats. Let's begin reading at verse 10. Threats. "Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delemiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, Let us meet together in the temple of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple. For they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, So such a man as I flee? And who was there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, and I should be afraid, and do so, and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets that should have put me in fear. Compromise, slander, threats. Nehemiah was now at odds with these prophets found in verse 14 that had been hired by Sanballat and Tobiah. This created great pressure, for the Jews had great respect for their prophets. But Nehemiah stood his ground. He knew that the Lord had sent him on this great task, and that he would not now desert him nor forsake him. It is interesting that the Jews have constantly been under attack down through the years. That they have had those that have asked them to compromise. They have slandered them and they have threatened them. And who's been behind all of these attacks? Well, we know it's Satan. Because we know that Jesus Christ is going to come through the line and lineage of the Jewish people, through the tribe of Judah. And the desire is to sidetrack them. Are you not glad that there were men like Nehemiah who said no, but that they would remain strong so that Jesus could come? Because, of course, through Jesus Christ, we have our salvation. It is my personal opinion, as I've already stated, that Nehemiah not only knew the scriptures, but that he had a powerful prayer life. And that is necessary, I believe, in today's world. Prayer and the reading of the scriptures. How important it is. Point number four, conspiracy. Conspiracy, beginning at verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. Now, we're going to stop there. I don't have these in my notes, but I'm going to say this. 52 days to build the wall. They had to work. How many of you think that at some point in time they hurt their finger? You know how it is when you're working with rocks? You can get them in the wrong place, your fingers in the wrong place. You know when you use a hammer, have you ever hit the wrong nail? I remember we were putting the paneling up in the nursery back here in the building, and I was putting up furring strips. And I hit the corner of the furring strip, or the corner of the steel cut nail, and it went from that nail to my thumb. I tell you what, it turned black almost immediately. The only thing good is I didn't throw the hammer through the window. But do you think that somewhere during those 52 days there was injuries? That there were those that maybe dropped some type of a stone on their foot, and they didn't have steel cuts back then. It's steel-toed shoes. It was difficult, but they finished the job in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. What are we doing for our God? Are we standing up for our Lord? Are we willing to make a stand for Him? Verse 17, moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. And there were many in Judea sworn unto him. Verse 19, also they reported his good deeds before me. What good deeds could he have possibly been doing? And they reported his good deeds unto me and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Even though the wall was completed, his enemies continued to attack. In Luke 4:13, where we read of the temptation of Christ by the devil, we read that, and when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. See, we have one time in which we are told about the temptations of the devil against Jesus Christ. We find it in the book of Matthew. We find it here in the book of Luke. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. What does that mean, for a season? For a little while, he came back. The Bible tells us in the book of James, resist the devil and he will flee from thee. But the fact is, he'll come back. He'll try another strategy. Or maybe he found the last one, worked a little bit, and he's going to come at you again. Resist. Stand. Warren Wiersbe writes, many a careless Christian has won the war, but afterwards lost the victory. The devil is always looking for an opportune time to attack the victors and turn them into victims. We need to heed the counsel of that saintly Scottish minister, Andrew A. Bonner, who said, let us be as watchful after the victory as before the battle, unquote. Our enemy doesn't like it when we get on our knees and pray. He doesn't like that. Our enemy doesn't like it when we open the Word of God and we read from the Scripture. Our enemy doesn't like it when we share the gospel message with someone. He would rather shut us down, make us complacent, uncaring. One has said, if one cannot see the devil working, it's probably because he has gone underground. Actually, we are safer when we can see him at work than when his agents are concealed. Open opposition is good for God's work and God's workers because it keeps us alert and trusting the Lord, trusting Him. Jesus admonished His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane to watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Watch ye and pray. Take your Bibles now to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9. Nehemiah 4:9. And it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Watch and pray was certainly one of Nehemiah's chief admonitions to his people. That's the one we give to you. Watch and pray. Be careful. Our enemy is not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me. He knows that humans are weak. But we know if we stay close to the Lord, we can be victorious. Question. Why did the nobles believe a lie and not the truth? Why were there those who sided with Tobiah and Sanballat? Was it for financial gain? Was it they didn't like Nehemiah? That they didn't want the responsibility of being Jewish? I think that was it. There was a responsibility in being Jewish. Just as there is a responsibility today to be Christians and to act like Christians. I have this in my notes. For the same reason, many in the church turn against the pastor. The message of the Lord is always the same. Now, if you don't get anything out of what has been said, remember this. The message of the Lord is always the same. Come, repent, serve. It's the message throughout the Word of God. Come, repent, serve. And unfortunately, this is inconvenient and demanding. Which brings us to the conclusion. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed. I wonder how many times Nehemiah prayed to the Lord saying, Lord, who can I trust? Who is on our side, even as Moses asked? Who is on the Lord's side? Who is willing to follow him? Remember this, actions speak louder than words. So what are your actions saying? Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you for Nehemiah and the men and women that stood beside him to build the wall. Thank you for those who in this day remain faithful to you, serving you faithfully, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.